Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. As you're turning there, I'm going to pick your brain a little bit. What kind of music do Santa's elves listen to? Christmas rap. W-R-A-P. Or R-A-P. Why does the Scrooge love reindeer so much? Because every single buck is dear to him. Y'all know you're going to repeat that tomorrow. No, I didn't. I can't take credit for that. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about His Name is Wonderful. On July 20th, 1969, should ring a bell with everybody. Not with everybody, but maybe the older generation like myself. Mankind took its first steps on the moon. Afterward, President Richard Nixon, he made this statement. He said, "The planting of human feet upon the moon is the greatest event in human history." Well, no respect to President Nixon, but he's just not quite right with that statement. The greatest event in human history was not the planting of human feet on the dust of the moon. It was the planting of divine feet, when God came down to us and planted his divine feet in the dust of this earth. Amen. Greatest event in human history. It was the incarnation of Jesus Christ, when Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God himself, took on human flesh. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 9, just skip down to verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Well-known piece of scripture, and when we look at it, there's just so much going on, so much that God is telling us here. When God says a child is born, that is speaking of Jesus' humanity. Jesus was as much man as he was God, as much God as he was man. It speaks of his humanity through the virgin birth. And then God tells us, "Unto us a son is given." That speaks of Jesus' divine nature, the fact that he is God's only son, that he is God in the flesh that came down to man. We read this verse and we need to understand that this amazing verse was written some 700 years before Christ took on human flesh in Bethlehem. Some 700 years before that first Noel, that first Christmas. Now, there's no doubt it took a lot of ingenuity, it took a lot of intelligence to put a man on the moon. But we need to understand that the most brilliant man is ignorant, the strongest man is weak, the richest man is absolutely dirt poor if he does not understand the truth and the majesty of Christmas. Amen. It does zero good to put a man on the moon if Jesus Christ is not in the heart. Amen? It's useless to know astronomy if you don't know the bright and morning star. It's useless to know botany if you don't know the Rose of Sharon. It's useless to know geology if you don't know that chief cornerstone, the rock of the ages. It's useless to know history if you don't understand that it's all about Jesus Christ. History is literally his story. It's all about Christ. Amen? It's in Jesus Christ that we live, that we move, that we have our being. So let's take a little closer look at this greatest event in human history, just sticking with our scripture here in Isaiah chapter 9. And the first thing I want us to see is consider Jesus' nature. Let's consider his nature. First and foremost, we have to understand that Jesus was not just another child born in Bethlehem. Amen? looking at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen? Emmanuel means God with us, God in the flesh. He is the very Son of God. God sent mankind the most precious, most valuable gift ever received, and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was the gift of deity wrapped in humanity. The gift of God wrapped in human flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh, and his nature is absolutely supernatural. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures, I know that I said a lot about the scriptures in the Bible, they're all my favorites, but this is at the top. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. The Word. The Bible calls Jesus the Word. We have God's written word, amen? But praise God, more importantly, we have his living word, Jesus Christ. You think, why would God call him the Word? Well, he is God. And everything he spoke is what? God's word, amen? The Word. But think about, what is a word? A word is an expression of an invisible thought, right? A word is an expression of an invisible thought. You can't hear my thoughts, but you can hear my words, amen? You can't see my thoughts, but my words, when I speak them to you, make those invisible thoughts known to you, amen? Jesus Christ, the Word, makes the invisible God known to us. Amen. Remember years ago, Billy Graham told a story that he was walking with his son Franklin, and Franklin was just a real, real little guy, and he accidentally stepped on an ant hill. And Franklin was all tore up, and he said, "Boy," he goes, "I wish I could just go down there and tell them, you know, that I'm sorry. I wish they could understand me." And Billy Graham started thinking to himself, and he said, "You know, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He brought God, an infinite God, well above our understanding, and he brought him down to our level. When Jesus took on human flesh, he came down to our level so that we could understand his magnificence, so that we can understand God's mercy and his grace, so that we can understand or try to wrap our heads around his unconditional love." Amen. Jesus Christ is fully God. Therefore, he is fully God's Word. There has never been another man like Christ, nor will there ever be. He is the supernatural God-man. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, "But to the Son, God says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever.'" A lot of people miss that verse when they're talking about, sometimes people debate whether Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is God in the flesh. The Bible flat simply says here, "But to the Son, to Jesus Christ, God the Father says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever.'" God the Father acknowledges that God the Son, Jesus Christ, is God. Jesus is not just fully God, but he is also forever God. Jesus didn't begin at Bethlehem. Amen? We need to understand that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? The Word was God. We need to understand that that was not a start. That was a state. Amen. A state of being. There never was and never will be a time when Jesus Christ was not. He is the ever-existent God. He is eternal and everlasting God. Think about this. As that little babe in Bethlehem, Jesus was older than his mother. You follow that? And he was the exact same age as his father. Try to explain that one. Jesus simply took on human flesh in that manger. He is the ever-existent God. That little babe that we read about in Luke chapter 2 is the same almighty God of Genesis chapter 1 that created all things. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up in glory. There is no doubt the virgin birth is a mystery of God. I'm not going to stand up here and say that I can explain to you how. I don't know how. I just know that it happened. Amen. I just know that he did. Plain and simple. If you doubt the virgin birth, then you have an issue with God himself. Amen. If God can and he did, if God can and did create Adam and Eve without a mother and father, he has no problem sending Christ through the human bloodline, through a virgin birth. Amen. We need to understand that. If you reject the virgin birth, then you are rejecting God and his word, and that unbelief leaves you lost and undone and unsaved still in your sins. And I pray you find truth before it's eternally too late. So that's the nature of Christ. Next, I want us to consider the nobility of Christ. We need to understand that Jesus was born a king. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "And the government will be upon his shoulder." Skipping down to verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Jesus is the almighty King and Lord over all. I hear people ask a lot, and you know, I know it's semantics, and it's kind of just what we've heard over the years. I hear people ask a lot, "Have you made him Lord? Have you made Jesus Lord?" And every time I hear that, I just can't help to think to myself, too late. The Bible declared him Lord way before we even came into existence. Amen. God declared him Lord before time even began. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you miss this, friend, you miss the entire meaning of Christmas. The cradle, the cross, that crown of thorns, they're all a package deal. They can't be separated. They all make Christmas what Christmas is. Amen? So can we make him Lord? No. Can we receive him as Lord? Absolutely yes. Amen. And we must. We must bow the knee. We must yield our heart and openly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible declares that every single man, woman, child, everyone who has ever taken a breath upon this earth will bow down. They will bow the knee before Jesus Christ and confess that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My prayer and my hope is that you do it on this side of eternity before it's too late. Amen. That we bow to him as our Lord and Savior, and not on the other side of eternity as our Lord and Judge. That's his nature, that's his nobility. The next thing I want us to consider is his name. Going back to our text in verse 6. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So, what is truly in his name? We think about that. We think about the name of Jesus. The first thing we see here is that wisdom is in his name. He's called the Wonderful Counselor. You know, as pastor, many people come to me for counseling. The truth is, I can't help anybody that comes to me. Amen. The only thing that I can do is point them in the direction, use his words, and point them in the direction to the one that can. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Almighty God come into flesh. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom for God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And listen, if you are going through some difficult times, if you're going through that valley, go to Christ. He is the one that has all the answers. Amen. He is the one and only one that can help you through. He's the only one that can give you a permanent fix. This world has a lot of band-aids that they can offer, amen. But that's all it is a band-aid. Christ, he's the healer. He's the lover of our soul and the great healer. He is the great physician. What else is in his name? Well, wonder is also in his name. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is also the Mighty God. Here's a question for you this morning. How many of you here today still stand in awe of Jesus Christ? Or has that excitement faded? If so, that means you've lost that wonder in Jesus Christ. And that's something as we get older. You know, Christmas, as a child, there's nothing greater, is it? You have the wonder of Christmas, but as we get older, that wonder fades a little bit more and a little bit more. Is that Jesus' fault or is that our fault? That's our fault, amen? That means that we have lost our wonder in Christ. We need to understand that he is the one who made all things, and all things belong to him. He made it all, and he holds it all together in his almighty hands. I hear all the time, what is this world coming to? Well, friends, if you know the Bible, you know this world is coming to Jesus Christ, plain and simple. That's what this world is coming to. He's wonderful. He's wonderful in his birth, in his ministry, all the miracles that he performed. He's wonderful in his death, in his resurrection, and in his second coming. I pray you see his wonder each and every day and understand what a mighty God that we truly serve. Amen. What else is in his name? Well, worship is in his name. Wonderful Counselor, he is the Mighty God, and he is also the Everlasting Father. Therefore, he and he alone is worthy of our worship. Over and over and over in the Bible, Jesus is worshiped. Amen? We need to understand that. From those he healed, to his disciples, even to devils, demons, to the wise men who sought him, Jesus is worshiped over and over in the Bible. Why? Because he is the Almighty God. He is the everlasting Father, and God alone is the only one worthy of our worship. Luke chapter 4, verse 8 says, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Friend, we need to worship and praise his holy name. Amen. What else is in his name? He's also called the Prince of Peace. That means our wellness, our well-being is in his name. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I yearn for peace. Amen. And that other word that comes with it, quiet, right? Peace and quiet go hand in hand. The older we get, the more that we yearn for peace. Brother talked about that this morning. What do you want for Christmas? Boy, how about peace on earth? How great was that? It's coming one day. But we have a rough patch to go through first. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you know that Jesus had a will before he left earth? Do you know he left you something in his will? John chapter 14. Before Jesus went to Calvary, he declared what he was leaving us in his will. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus has left his peace with every single born-again believer. Friend, if you don't have peace in your life, if you don't have peace in your spirit, if you don't have peace in your heart, then you don't have Jesus Christ. Or at least you don't know what you have in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm not talking about that temporary happiness that we experience from time to time. I'm talking about the peace of Christ. The peace that passes all understanding. A peace that we have, a peace that becomes part of our being regardless of our circumstances. No matter what we're going through, no matter how deep that valley is that we're going through, we still have that peace of Jesus Christ with us. Peace that we can't find in any other source other than Jesus Christ. That name, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus literally means Jehovah saves. There's no greater truth than that. Jesus came down to us to meet us in our sins and give us peace and everlasting life. He is the everlasting Father, but he did not want to go through eternity without us. Amen? That's the love with which he loves us. Friend, we need to come to him and receive all that he has to offer. His name, wonderful.